Welcome, listeners. Today we have Professor Tobin Beck from Concordia Seward University and Pastor Poppy to visit about the upcoming Seward-Concordia radio programming. Professor Beck is an assistant professor of global studies. He teaches journalism and global issue classes at Concordia. He is a journalist with more than 30 years of experience, including 13 years of experience as a global news service writer, editor, senior manager in Washington, D.C. He has written and edited for newspapers, radio, television, the web, and magazines. And he has taught at American University in Washington, D.C., and at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. He grew up in Seward, where his father, Theodore, taught music at Concordia. Welcome, Professor Beck and Pastor Poppy.
Thank you.
It is a great honor, Professor, to have you with us today. It is a landmark for KNNALP 95.7 here in Lincoln to be linking up with Concordia University in Seward. We're very, very excited about the Concordia radio project and hearing about the happenings and different activities that are going on at Concordia in Seward. We have had a long and rich history with Concordia University in the Nebraska District and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I have taught worship classes there in the past. Our associate pastor, Pastor Murundi, is currently teaching Old Testament history and content classes there, and we're very, very excited and thankful for that. And now we've been talking and talking and talking about linking up with Concordia in Seward, and now it's about ready to happen. Professor, can you tell us a little bit about you personally and how in the world somebody with that resume that Kurt just read all over the world, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Florida, Washington, D.C., how did this UPI journalist end up back at his roots and back in Nebraska? What can you tell us about your family and background?
Well, thanks for the introduction, and thank you for the kind words. Well, Pastor, as Kurt mentioned, I grew up here in Seward. My father, Theodore Beck, Ted Beck, taught here at Concordia for nearly 50 years. And I love Seward. I love Nebraska. And throughout my journalism career, I often thought about teaching and especially being able to kind of convey to students and work with students on the skills that they would need to have to be successful once they graduated from college, especially for how to think about information, how to just process things about the world. And so that was very much in my mind when I was working in Washington. And I had the opportunity in 2005, UPI actually going through a corporate reorganization laid me off, which opened the doors for me to start teaching. As you mentioned, as Kurt mentioned, I was an adjunct professor at American University in Washington. I was also an adjunct professor at George Mason University. And that really further ignited my interest in teaching. And I had an opportunity to come to Concordia in 2008. And that also gave me, besides being able to teach, it also gave me an opportunity to work on advanced degrees. So I was able to complete a master's degree at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in political science, and I'm working now on finishing a PhD in political science at UNL. So I was thrilled to have the opportunity to come back here. My wife, Ellen, who also was a journalist, who now has been a member of the Seward City Council for several years, is able to work from home, working for a company that's based in Washington, D.C. So we love it out here.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, some of our hearers may recognize American University. Wasn't the former Nebraska governor, Bob Carey, wasn't he the president of American University for a while?
Not of American University in Washington. I think he was with the New School in New York, which is a different university. I don't believe that he had a connection with American in Washington, but American is very much connected with Washington, D.C., and has really an excellent all of the school is excellent, but especially with its work in preparing diplomats and so forth, it does really a terrific job and is really highly respected in D.C., so I was thrilled to be able to teach there. And one of my mentors there, Amy Eisman, was one of the founding editors of USA Today, and I really learned a lot from her and from other people there at American on how to teach. And also working with Steve Klein, who was a mentor at George Mason, was really wonderful because both of these people had strong backgrounds as former journalists and sort of, you know, helped me take those journalist skills and translate that into teaching skills. So that really helped me when I got back here to Concordia. And Concordia has an amazing faculty of professionals who are really outstanding teachers and really focus on teaching and also really focus on living their faith. So again, it's of all the places that I've worked and all the things I've done and places I've been, I think it's all prepared me for what I'm doing now. And frankly, this is the most fun that I've had in my career is what I'm doing here at Concordia.
To be able to work and have fun, that is indeed a gift from God. Don't say that too loudly or how much you're enjoying it. Otherwise, they might want to rethink your paycheck if you're having too much fun. I have to warn pastors of that all the time. Now, with the family history that you have, I imagine there was a little bit of pressure for you to pursue music as a career, or at least a avocation, rather than journalism and political science. Is there a story there, Professor?
Well, actually, there was not really pressure from my parents to go into music. Although I, from the time I was a little kid, have had a strong interest in music, and took piano lessons when I was little. And frankly, wish I would have continued those. I sort of stopped those when I got out of grade school into high school, and I wish now I would have continued those. But I did continue with playing baritone, horn, and band. I played throughout high school, and then I was fortunate enough to make it into the University of Nebraska Cornhusker Marching Band, which was a lot of fun, and really enjoyed that through my college years. So I do still keep up with that. I still play the baritone. I once in a while play guitar. But no, Mom and Dad said, you know, follow whatever interests you and we'll support whatever you want to do. My father did have, world-class background in music. He had his PhD in music theory and composition from Northwestern University in Illinois. And his father, Albert Beck, taught music at Concordia University, River Forest, Illinois, Concordia, Chicago. And Albert taught there for 40 years. So we have collectively about aside from me, my dad and his dad had a connection with Concordia going back to 1909.
Well, it has to be a great joy family-wise as well to be able to continue that tradition. We are visiting with Professor Tobin Beck from Concordia University in Seward. We're talking about the upcoming Concordia Radio Project that we'll be hearing on a regular basis here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Professor, I have to ask you, there are very, very few Tobins in the world. When I heard your name, Tobin, I immediately thought of NFL football, and with your family's rich music heritage and history, I couldn't think that maybe there was a closet football fan there that named you after the great NFL quarterback Tobin Rote. So is there a story behind your name and the uniqueness of Tobin?
And you have it exactly right. And it's sort of ironic because my dad was a lifelong Chicago Bears fan and Tobin Rote was a Packers quarterback. And dad just liked the sound of a name. He liked the sound of Tobin. And so, yeah, where he got the Tobin was hearing the name of Green Bay Packers quarterback Tobin Rote.
Wow.
And so, yes, that is where the Tobin comes from. And I always found that funny once I learned where the Tobin came from, that the dad, the Bears fan, would name me after a Packer. And it became sort of more fitting years later when after I had worked in Milwaukee and when I married Ellen, who grew up in Wisconsin in Fond du Lac, close to Green Bay, and is a really hardcore Packers fan. So, so I'm appropriately named for a Green Bay Packer quarterback.
Wow. Well, for our hearers that have no idea who I'm talking about, Tobin Rote, who was a star football player at Rice University of all places, and back in the 50s when Rice was a football power, went to the Green Bay Packers and gave up his spot as quarterback to a young rookie that nobody had ever heard of before, a guy by the name of Bart Starr. Then he went to the Detroit Lions and was a bench warmer until late in the season the starting quarterback Frankie Lane broke his ankle, and he went in and led the Detroit Lions to an NFL championship. He was out of football. Then when the AFL started up again, he was picked up by the then brand new San Diego Chargers and led them to the first AFL football championship, and was in and out of football, even in Canada, for about 30 years total. Some people consider him, I don't know if I can put this on you, Professor, some people consider him the most handsome player ever to play professional football. And so I'm just going to leave it at that.
I don't know if there's a comparison there, but I think that is, his story is an inspiring one on the value of perseverance and working to constantly go after your goals. And in that respect, certainly a great role model.
Yeah, never quit, never quit, never quit. And we're going to take a short break here, and then we're going to come back and find out a few more details about specifically the Concordia Radio Project at Concordia University in Seward, that the fruit of which will be airing right here on 95.7 KNNALP in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't change that dial.
Hello and welcome to Concord Quotes, a podcast that takes you through the Lutheran Confessions in a year. So grab your Book of Concord and join us as we begin today's reading. Today's reading will be from the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord, Article 2, Sections 57 through 64. But if a man will not hear preaching, nor read God's word, but despises the word in congregation of God, and thus dies and perishes in his sins, he neither can comfort himself with God's eternal election, nor obtain his mercy. For Christ, in whom we are chosen, offers to all men his grace in the word and holy sacraments, and wishes earnestly that it be heard, and has promised that where two or three are gathered together in his name, and are occupied with his holy word, he will be in their midst. But when such a person despises the instrument of the Holy Ghost and will not hear, no injustice is done to him if the Holy Ghost does not enlighten him, but allows him to remain in the darkness of his unbelief and to perish. For regarding this manner, it is written, "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And in this respect it may well be said that man is not a stone or a block. For a stone or block does not resist the person who moves it, nor does it understand, and is sensible of what is being done with it, as man with his will so long resists God the Lord, until he is converted. And it is nevertheless true that man before his conversion is still a rational creature, having an understanding and will, however, not an understanding with respect to divine things, or a will to will something good and salutary. Yet he can do nothing whatever towards his conversion, as has also been said frequently above, and is in this respect much worse than a stone and block, for he resists the word and the will of God until God awakens him from the death of sin, enlightens, and renews him. And although God does not force man to become godly, for those who always resist the Holy Ghost and persistently oppose the known truth, as Stephen says of the hardened Jews, Acts 7:51, are not converted, yet God the Lord draws the man whom he wishes to convert, and draws him in such a way that his darkened understanding is turned into an enlightened one, and his perverse will into an obedient one. And this, just this, is what the Scriptures call creating a new heart, Psalm 51:10. And for this reason it cannot be correctly said that man before his conversion has a modus agendi, or a way, namely, of working something good and salutary in divine things. For inasmuch as man before his conversion is dead in sins, Ephesians 2:5, there can be in him no power to work anything good in divine things, and hence, too, he has no modus agendi, or way of working in divine things. But when we treat of the matter how God works in man, God has nevertheless, it is true indeed that God has one modus agendi, or way of working in man, as in a rational creature, and another way of working in some other irrational creature, or in a stone and block. Nevertheless, no modus agendi, or no way whatever of working something good in spiritual things, can be ascribed to man before his conversion. But when man has been converted, and is thus enlightened, and his will is renewed, it is then that man wills what is good, so far as he is regenerate, or a new man, and delights in the law of God after the inward man, Romans 7:22, and henceforth does good to such an extent, and as long as he is impelled by God's Spirit, as Paul says, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this impulse of the Holy Ghost is not a coercion, but the converted man does good spontaneously, as David says, Psalm 110:4, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." And nevertheless, that also, the strife of the flesh and spirit remains in the regenerate, of which St. Paul wrote, 7:22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Also verse 25. "So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Also Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." This concludes today's reading. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Concord Quotes. For more quotes from the Book of Concord, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ConcordQuotes1530, or you can follow us on Twitter at Concord Quotes.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Clint Poppy. Along with me is one of our board members from KNNALP 95.7, Curtis Christensen. And we are honored and privileged to be spending a few moments with an interview with Professor Tobin Beck. Was there anything, Professor, family-wise or background-wise that we didn't touch on that we need to bring up in the second part of our interview?
Both of my parents were, you know, were very active in both the church and both and civically. My mother was a county commissioner in Seward County. She also had her own preschool for about a little over 20 years and was sort of an innovator as a preschool educator. My brother works at Hughes Brothers, the factory here in Seward, as their safety director. My sister, Teddy, was the first woman in the United States to be NCAA compliance director for a major university. She was compliance director for 15 years at Texas A&M and now works in her husband's law firm.
Women in your family have maybe not the traditional female roles, connection to the church.
Well, and along those lines, my mother was, you know, was a wonderful leader in terms of local politics, and always thinking about, you know, how do you do this for the good of the people that she represented. But I have to tell you, Ellen, too, my wife, is of all the world class journalists I've worked with through my career, she's the best one, and I probably am a little bit biased about that, but yeah, she is. She's the best journalist I've ever worked with. So, well, yeah, that's very true.
Are you going to have her help with the radio project?
Yes, she will.
Okay,
and she actually has a professional background in radio as well as in print and wire service journalism, as well as she works now as a health policy analyst and as an editor for a company called Smart Brief in Washington, where she works from home editing and doing some writing for 15 different medical and healthcare policy newsletters each week. But yeah, I have asked her, and she said yes, definitely, and that she would like to help. And one of the areas where she's going to help is she's the advisor for the Concordia campus newspaper, The Sower, and we are getting The Sower staff involved in this as well.
Awesome.
To have some of their content that we can provide and record.
Yeah, I pulled a an article off the internet, and I don't know if this is from the Sower or if this is just the Concordia website, but it was Concordia Radio Project set to broadcast.
Yes, that's from our marketing office. That was written by a student named Rachel Dorn, who is one of my current students, actually, in both the writing and reporting class and in the broadcast journalism class. And she did that for the Concordia Marketing Office, and I think did a very good job with it.
Very well-written article. Very well-written article.
She's a good writer.
Okay.
And one other quick story that I want to tell you before we go is, you know, both mom and dad, to me, were, you know, really exemplified, you know, Christians living their faith. And both of them got sick together at the same time back in 2002. And it was right around Memorial Day. Mom collapsed with kidney failure and was put in intensive care at St. Elizabeth's. And dad that night started having severe chest pains and was, turns out, needed a heart valve replacement. And so they're in side-by-side rooms in intensive care at St. Elizabeth's. And that night we got together, or I guess it was the next day, we got together in Mom's room, and it was Mom, Dad, my sister, brother, Ellen, me, and we talked about what would we want to say to each other if we never got the chance again. And we talked about how we loved each other, and we read through Romans 8. And I'll never forget that reading. You know, nothing could separate us from the love of Christ, and how powerful that was. And that literally was the last time that we had the chance to do that, because Dad had surgery the next day, had massive complications, never fully recovered from that. And Mom, it turns out, had terminal cancer. She died a month later. And, you know, even though physically that was a horrible situation for them, just the power of that moment and the power of that passage and what that means, you know, that's always stayed with me very powerfully as kind of the legacy of their lives. And so I think about that with my teaching. I think about that with stuff like this, that, you know, just that, what it means to have that belief and how that's reflected in what we do.
Well, that's a good, healthy perspective when you're dealing with global issues and political science, to know that nothing in the world, nothing that the devil, the world, or our sinful flesh can throw at us can separate us from that love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors. I can't think of a better passage to have ringing in your ears before God takes you to heaven, and for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. What a great story, and what a great comfort.
Well, it is, and just, you know, I think about that when I teach too, on the perspective that I want my students to have on this stuff, and not to lose hope when things do seem overwhelming.
We are visiting with Professor Tobin Beck from Concordia University in Seward. We're talking about the upcoming Concordia Radio Project that we'll be hearing on a regular basis here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't chase that dial.
This is Max McLean. Where will you find what many consider the best known verse in Scripture? Listen to the Bible from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Anon near Salim. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and he's full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and no one accepts his testimony. the man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. From John chapter 3, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Clint Poppy. Along with me is one of our board members from KNNALP 95.7, Curtis Christensen. And we are honored and privileged to be spending a few moments with an interview with Professor Tobin Beck. Professor Beck is global studies, global issues, journalism professor at Concordia University in Seward. And we heard a little bit about his family background, rich, storied family background, and how he ended up back in Seward after being all over the country with various forms of journalism, and especially his long time with United Press International, UPI. But now he's back in Seward. He's been at Seward since 2008, and in the midst of his journalism and global issues classes, we have a new project, a project that is directly connected to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, and especially our radio station, KNNA. Professor Beck, what can you tell us about how you first heard about KNNA Radio 95.7 and your initial response to doing something on the radio connected to Concordia and Seward?
Well, we first heard about this, myself and some others here at Concordia, when we were approached a little over a year ago by Nick Sandman, as well as Kurt, to consider whether we would be interested in providing content for the new low-power radio station that the church was putting together. And the idea excited me because it offered an opportunity for us to get more involved in doing radio broadcasting and teaching those skills to our journalism students. We in the past had done some radio. We had not currently been doing much with that, and I thought this offered a great opportunity in a whole variety of ways, not only to teach those skills, but also to share what we're doing at Concordia with an audience in Lincoln and then the wider audience on the web, and that it would just be a really great fit with what we wanted to do here that would benefit not only Concordia, but also benefit Good Shepherd and benefit the community.
There is a press release. If you want to check out in more details, you can go to anywhere at the Concordia University website or just do a quick Google search. But in that article, Professor Beck, it talks about how this radio project is going to start out as kind of a club, a radio club, or something adjunct to your journalism classes, but hopefully in the future this club and the journalism program will kind of merge as one. What can you tell us about that plan or that process?
Yes, that's correct. We're kind of doing it as both. It fits with what we're doing in the journalism classes, offering an opportunity for students that want to participate in that to provide an outlet for them to do so, to get a chance to record interviews, to get a chance for them to both be interviewed and learn interview skills, as well as some other things that go along with putting a radio show together. And then we also have other students that are not specifically taking journalism classes who also wish to participate, and we're giving them an opportunity to do so. So it's sort of, it's kind of part of the journalism program, but it's more than that. It offers, again, an opportunity for students who are not specifically taking journalism classes to learn these skills and to get some experience that hopefully will then convince them that they should try some of the journalism classes and maybe consider even going into that as a career.
Sounds like the best.
We're really excited about the opportunities.
Sounds like the best of both worlds there, where people will be able to work in and through their journalism classes. But even if they're not a journalism major, maybe they're going to study to be a teacher or a DCE or a pastor or an exercise science trainer, something like that, where the possibilities of radio and whether that be through advertising or some other aspect of radio, those aspects would be there for them and they'll be able to have a little hands-on experience. I really like that that approach, and we hope and pray that it will go well. Now, what kind of programming you've talked a couple of times about interviews, and I know that we have a couple of files already here that will soon be able to be heard on KNNA 95.7 here in Lincoln. What kind of plans do you have with regard to these interviews? Who's going to be doing the interviews, and who's going to be the interviewee?
Well, yes, that's what we've done so far. Some interviews that I've done with some of my colleagues here at Concordia, talking about some of the interesting things that they've been working on, both with their teaching and also some of their other projects as well, that I think will really be interesting to listeners of KNNA. And then also interviews with students and students interviewing other people, students interviewing professors, students interviewing other students to talk about what they're doing. We're also looking at expanding to possibly having some music that we record here, some original things that have been written and performed by students, by professors, by others around the community here. That's something that we would like to get into and expand. So just kind of a variety of things that we think that the listeners will find interesting as part of the overall programming of KNNA.
That sounds wonderful, and we're looking forward to that wide variety that you talked about. Now, since your area of expertise and your area of instruction at Concordia in Seward includes global issues, have you thought about doing anything radio-wise with some of these global issues or global topics, or maybe even doing interviews with people around the world and bringing a worldwide aspect to the Concordia Radio Project? Is that in the works at all?
That's something that we definitely will consider doing. I think that offers some exciting possibilities. Besides the global issues classes, I also teach political science and as well as journalism, and focusing on helping students understand what's going on, not only around the world, but especially here in the United States. And that may be something to explore, looking at some of these issues and some of the people involved. That I think that could be interesting, especially examining those in ways that would be of interest to, to the faith community and so forth.
Sure, looking at global issues or political science type issues from a distinctively Lutheran perspective. I think hearers would love that.
Yes, as you mentioned, the Luther's Two Kingdoms perspective, I think, offers some really unique and interesting ways of looking at those things.
Yes, we're talking with Professor Tobin Beck, professor at Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska, the upcoming Concordia Radio Project, the fruits of which you will be hearing on KNNA LP 95.7 right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And one of the things, since we have a LP, low-power radio station, our radio station signal doesn't quite reach Seward. We get about halfway there on a good day, but we are available on the World Wide Web. And so the people in Seward and the people in Seward County and the people throughout the world can tune in anytime as we're broadcast live 24/7 on our website, www.thecross957.org. And you'll be able to hear all kinds of programming, including programming from Concordia University in Seward. Professor, you talked before about your wife and how you considered your wife to be one of, if not the best journalist that you know. She's active and involved in city politics in Seward. She is active with journalism, and she also has some radio experience as well. How do you see maybe having a husband-wife partner working relationship with the Concordia Radio Project? Have you thought that one through?
Yes, I would love to do that. And I've talked to her about that. And yeah, she definitely is interested and does plan to participate. She, as you mentioned, is, in my mind, she is the best journalist I've ever worked with. And I've worked with a number of world-class journalists during my overall well, I guess as I count up the years that I've been working as a professional journalist, it's probably closer to 40 than 30, which makes me feel old when I say that. But including the 27 years with United Press International, and as you mentioned earlier, 13 of those in Washington. But yes, Ellen is a really outstanding journalist, and she is the advisor for our campus newspaper in Seward, the Concordia Soar. And she, yes, she has indicated that she would like to participate.
Well, we look forward to that, and I hope one of the interviews that somebody has in the near future is with one of our elders here at Good Shepherd, who's also on the staff, one of the faculty, Dr. Matt Phillips, who, and his real name is C. Matthew Phillips, and a journalist major can investigate what that C stands for. He doesn't always use that, but you might want to have some fun with that.
Well, down the hall from mine, and he is a terrific colleague, and we talk frequently, and yes, that would be I would think that would be a wonderful interview.
Yeah, he is so well read and so well spoken on so many topics, and it's always amazing when he quotes Latin or German with that Mississippi drawl that he has. I always always have to snicker at that point in time. One of the things you mentioned is that when you were at the University of Nebraska, you played in the marching band. Well, these days at Nebraska, the marching band is the best thing about going to a football program or football game. Is there any thought or any plan with regard to, you know, you talked about recording music and you talked about recording, you know, some special things by students or professors in that music line. Is there any thought to maybe branching out into any sports journalism, whether it be a report of the game or even live broadcasting? Has, in your brainstorming with the Concordia Radio Project, has anything like that come up?
We've discussed that, and there are some logistical things and various programming issues that we would have to work out to be able to do that. But one thing that we do want to start fairly soon is interviews with players and coaches, if not doing play-by-play game announcing yet. But that's something that we're looking at is possibly adding that, but definitely starting with player interviews and descriptions of sort of rundowns of what's happened and what's coming up.
That'll be exciting. There are a lot of Concordia fans in and around Lincoln, and the more people hear about it, the more excitement is generated, and I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Now, absolutely, and we are very excited about that and the opportunities that this presents for us.
Okay, now you talked about some logistical things. I know that a mixer and a few mics were donated within the last year to your department, helping make this Concordia radio project possible. What are some other needs that you would have, whether that be for volunteer-type things or tangible kind of items for the studio? What kind of needs might our listeners be praying for and perhaps even help generate for you?
Well, that's a great question. Right now, I think for what we need getting started, we're in reasonably good shape, and I would always encourage people to keep us in their prayers. And if they feel so inclined to, you know, support the school with their financial contributions, as well as certainly supporting the church with their contributions. But if they mostly at this stage can keep us in their prayers and keep listening, that would be terrific.
Thank you, Professor. And thank you so much for the generous donation of your time for this interview to get us started. Thank you for your interest in radio and journalism, and for taking your vast knowledge, which quite frankly you could use in a variety of ways out in the real world, and really cash in on it. Thank you for bringing this back home to the church, back home to Concordia, for sharing this with the students, and for teaching a love of journalism, teaching a love of radio, teaching a love of how Lutheran Christians in their vocation can make a difference and make an impact in our world. We are really, really looking forward to this partnership with Concordia University and Seward. We ask our listeners to not only pray for this project, but to support it in any way that you can. We also ask you to listen and give feedback. Give feedback to us here at the radio station. Give feedback to Professor Tobin Beck, who's in charge of this radio project at the university, and we pray that it blossoms and grows. I can't tell you the exact dates and the exact times that it will be programming and playing right now, but we hope it will be often, and you can check out our updated schedule at our website, www.thecross957.org. And I think with that, Professor Beck, I'm going to give you the last word. What do you want to leave our hearers with this morning?
Well, I am just thrilled for the opportunity to be doing this. I think back on, you know, on the heritage that we've talked about. I think about what faith means to me. I think about what being a Christian and what living my faith means. And, you know, I always feel maybe a little bit self-conscious about talking about myself, because I feel that, you know, there are things I can contribute, and the satisfaction of that comes in seeing how that can help other people, especially my students, and the opportunity here to reach out to others through the radio ministry and so on. And so I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled by the opportunity. I'm thrilled by, you know, the doors that, that the Lord seems to open. And just, again, you know, keep us all, everyone in your prayers, and listen, and feedback will be wonderful. And I'm very much looking forward to how this works in the future.
Thank you so much, Professor Beck. For Kurt Christensen, one of our board members at KNNALP, I am Pastor Clint Poppy. Thanks for listening to our brief interview this morning with Professor Tobin Beck, Concordia University in Seward. Listen often for the Concordia Radio Project, and we pray God's blessings upon Professor Beck, upon the students who will be participating in this project, and upon hearing great things from Concordia Seward. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Professor Beck and Pastor Poppy.
Thanks. That was great.